Hey everyone, I'm Thanos Davelis, and welcome back to The Greek Current, a podcast by the Hellenic American Leadership Council and Kathimerini, where we highlight the top stories of the day every afternoon with analysis from guest experts, policymakers, journalists, and HELC staff. In the lead-up to President Biden's meeting next week with Turkey's President Erdogan on the sidelines of the NATO summit, there have been some rumors circulating that there is an agreement or a deal on the table over the Russian S-400 missiles that may help salvage relations between Turkey and the United States. Diplomatic sources, however, have denied that there's any agreement in place. Expert Alan Makovsky joins The Greek Current to break down these rumors and offer his analysis on the latest developments. Alan Makovsky is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and has worked on Turkey and the Middle East in several capacities, including as a senior staff member on the Committee on Foreign Affairs in the House of Representatives and at the State Department. Alan, it's great to have you back on The Greek Current.
Thanos, it's great to be back.
Alan, what kind of rumors are floating around when it comes to any potential agreement with Turkey on these S-400s?
Right. Well, I think the hot rumor that was flying around yesterday and the day before was that the U.S. had come to an understanding with Turkey that the S-400s would be kept at Incirlik Air Base in southern Turkey under the joint custody of the U.S. and Turkey, and that somehow this arrangement would be packaged with an agreement by Turkey to continue to secure the Kabul airport in Afghanistan following the U.S. and NATO withdrawal. So are these rumors accurate? I think they're not accurate. And I think, as you indicated in your lead-in, diplomats have denied them. And In this case, I really believe the diplomats. I don't think the deal that was rumored makes a lot of sense. Certainly not from a U.S. point of view, from a Turkish point of view, perhaps. I don't think there can be any solution regarding the disposition of the S-400s that leaves them on Turkish territory. Congress was very explicit in the National Defense Authorization Act of 2021 that was passed at the end of December that Turkey must give up possession, that it can no longer possess the S-400s. Now, people can play, and diplomats are very clever, as your audience knows, at playing with nuances of definitions, and perhaps you can come up with different ways to slice and dice the word possess so that they don't have control over the S-400s, but they still have deed to them. But one thing I think is certain, if the S-400s are on Turkish territory, and that includes Incirlik Air Base, they will be under Turkish control, whatever the arrangement. People sometimes forget, because the U.S. has used Incirlik so frequently over the years, that Incirlik is not a U.S. air base. It is a sovereign Turkish air base. And Turkey, at times, allows the United States and NATO the privilege of using it. But were the S-400s to be stored there under joint custody of the U.S. and Turkey, Turkey at any time could tell the U.S. that it's time to leave, and now we're going to use the S-400s. And that type of arrangement is exactly what Congress was trying to avoid when it said that Turkey has to give up possession.
Alan, today the State Department spokesperson once again reiterated that the United States has never offered any indication that it's willing to accept Turkey's possession of the S-400 system. Is there any idea then as to where these rumors are coming from, or, you know, who is leaking them?
Well, the short answer to your question is I don't personally know, but given the nature of the rumors, I think one would have to guess that it's coming from the Turks, either as a trial balloon or because they think that by putting this idea out there that there will be some kind of momentum for this idea. And I think it's pretty clear that the U.S. is shooting down the idea already. So if it's a trial balloon, it's already been popped.
Based on your observations, then, what do you think that President Erdogan will propose when he meets with President Biden early next week, since it looks like the State Department is shutting down any speculation about an agreement on the S-400s?
Look, I think he will still try to find some way to keep the S-400s on Turkish sovereign territory And with some kind of joint custody with the United States, maybe he'll try to give additional assurances to the United States that they could never be deployed without U.S. approval, because I don't think the Turks will let go of this idea very quickly, mainly because if President Erdogan were to give up possession or to move the S-400s outside of Turkey to a country agreed to by the United States, to a third country, there would certainly be a loss of face for President Erdogan. It would be very embarrassing. So, you know, I do think they will try to see if there's some way they can arrange joint custody at Incirlik or elsewhere in Turkey, but it will be a non-starter for the United States. It's something that President Biden, even if he wanted to do it, could not do it without creating a very sour relationship with the U.S. Congress, including with the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Senator Menendez, who, of course, as your audience knows, is Democrat himself and cares very deeply about this issue.
So does this mean that President Biden would have to consult with Congress on any possible deal?
If Turkey does indeed give up possession, either hand them over to a NATO country or put them back in a crate and address that crate to Moscow and send them back, then it's clear that they've given up possession, provided we can verify it. And he would not have to consult with Congress because the congressional condition would have been met. But any other kind of arrangement, he would certainly have to consult with Congress. Let's not forget that President Biden himself was a longtime member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and then chairman of it for several years. And Secretary of State Blinken was his chief of staff on that committee. I think he has a lot of respect for Congress. I think he fully understands the importance of the executive branch getting along with Congress. Any deal he works out with the Turks, short of something that is black and white and meets the letter of the law of Turkey giving up possession, he will consult congressional leadership and make sure that he has consensus approval in Congress before finalizing such a deal.
Turkey's economy is in a rough place, and Erdogan is taking a hit in the polls. While he would lose face with the public, is solving this and moving past this S-400 issue with the United States worth it for Erdogan?
I think it would pay off handsomely for Erdogan. A lot of the reason that the economy is going downhill and the lira is scudding downwards and investors are fleeing is because of the tension with the United States. Remove that tension and the economy well might stabilize. And once you get around to the election 2 years from now, I don't think the Turkish voter is really going to care that President Erdogan lost face or that Turkey lost face for a few weeks about this issue. What they're going to say is our economy is coming back. And every poll in Turkey shows that Turks care far and away the most about the economy. That's a far higher priority than foreign policy. And again, poll after poll shows that the Turkish voters don't want to hurt the economy for the sake of foreign policy. So I think in some ways, the Turkish voters, at least as being reflected in the majority in Turkish polls, are showing more pragmatism than President Erdogan is.
Erdogan is desperate, it looks like, to create this narrative of good ties with the United States. But there's a number of other issues besides the S-400 that'll be on the table when he meets President Biden. And
indeed,
that's from human rights to tension in the Eastern Mediterranean to issues with rule of law. So where do you see these issues ranking in the discussion that we'll see President Biden and Erdogan have next week?
Well, I think the number one issues on each side are the same ones that have been the priority now for a few years, which is for the Turks, U.S. support for the YPG in northeastern Syria and the presence on U.S. soil of Fethullah Gulen, the religious leader whom Erdogan believes is the lead conspirator or was the lead conspirator in the July 15th, 2016 coup attempt. For the U.S., of course, the number one issue is the S-400s. But as you say, there will be other issues on the table. And I think that the U.S. will expressed concern in general about Turkey's more adventurous foreign policy. It will raise human rights issues, which has been a centerpiece, rhetorically at least, of the Biden presidency. And I think he will specifically talk to the Turks about interference in the Aegean and in the Cypriot economic zone, make sure that that doesn't happen. I do think the U.S. administration would like to have positive relations with Turkey, if possible, but it's not going to be easy to get there. I think some of these issues are very, very difficult to resolve. One thing where I think the U.S. sees a point of convergence with Turkey and perhaps takes some hope for a positive evolution in bilateral relations is regarding Ukraine. Turkey rhetorically has been very strong in recent times in saying that Crimea should be returned to Ukraine and opposing what Russia is doing in eastern Ukraine. Of course, Turkey has also sold TB2 drones to Ukraine, and it has entered into quite a few military co-production agreements with Ukraine, including one for an engine for a future fighter jet aircraft. That is something Turkey never had the skill to do. And I know it's hoping to use Ukraine to gain some of these skills. And frankly, I think to work around the current U.S. military sanctions on Turkey. So the relationship with Ukraine cuts both ways. On the one hand, I think the U.S. sees it as an unalloyed good thing that Turkey has been so outspoken about Crimea, has been willing to be helpful to the Ukrainian government. On the other hand, I think all of us have to keep an eye on how exactly the military-industrial relationship between Ukraine and Turkey evolves, and will it feed Turkey's ability and desire to be a regional hegemon? So I don't know how much U.S. officials are focused on the second half of that equation. I think they should. I do know they are focused on the first half, the more positive half. I think it's an important issue. I think we'll have to see how that plays out. I'm sure Ukraine will be an important point of discussion in the Biden-Erdogan meeting. Of course, the new element here is the Kabul airport. I think the U.S. genuinely would like to see Turkey provide security. I don't expect any final results by the time of the Biden-Erdogan meeting, but it will at least be an element of positive progress, most likely, in what is otherwise a pretty bleak landscape of U.S.-Turkish relations.
Alan, we've been talking about these rumors about potential agreements and deals and possibly moving S-400s to Incirlik, but where does Russia fit in this equation? In the Al Monitor piece, there was a Western diplomat that was quoted and asked, you know, would the United States let Turkey park Patriot missiles on a Russian base? You know, no way. So why would the Russians accept that?
Well, yeah, I saw that quote, actually. Look, we don't know exactly how the Russians will react, but I don't think it's a very good analogy. Turkey is a NATO ally. The arms deals that the United States makes with Turkey and others are very transparent regarding end-user arrangements. And if Turkey had a Patriot and decided to park it on a Russian airbase, that would be the end of the U.S.-Turkish military relationship and the beginning of a very difficult sanction. Now, some might argue that Russia would punish Turkey economically were Turkey to move the S-400s, let's say, to a NATO country under, let's say, joint custody of the U.S. and Turkey. Yes, it's possible. After Turkey shot down a Russian MiG in November 2015, Russia did apply very punishing sanctions for several months until Turkey apologized, or at least was said to have apologized. President Erdogan sent a letter, which the Russians characterized as an apology. Perhaps they would do that, but let's not forget that Turkey is also an important economic partner for Russia. And I'm not sure how long Russia would want to punish Turkey. I don't think, to be honest, that Russia is giving Turkey its top-of-the-line technology. They know they're selling to a NATO country. Do they really think that none of Turkey's NATO allies will ever get access to that technology, I suspect they have probably already factored in the strong possibility that one of Turkey's NATO partners will examine that technology. So, you know, if we sold the Patriot, we would be extremely agitated if the technology were shared by a treaty ally with an adversary. I don't think it's quite the same when an adversary sells its equipment to a U.S. treaty ally. Of course, they're perhaps hoping that the technology doesn't get shared, but I would bet you anything they are not selling Turkey their top-of-the-line technology.
Alan, thanks for joining us on The Greek Current. It was great having you back on.
Thank you so much. Always enjoy being with you.
In other news, large parts of Greece shut down on Thursday as workers across the country joined a general strike to protest a proposed labor reform. Greece's center-right government says the draft legislation currently being debated in parliament will allow greater flexibility within the work week and also modernize regulations to grant new fathers longer paternity leave. Opponents, including the main left-wing opposition party that is backing the strikes, have accused the government of using coronavirus lockdowns as a pretext to further erode long-standing labor rights and legal protections for employees. The proposed reform is being voted on in Greek parliament next week. Finally, lawmakers in Cyprus on Thursday elected a woman to the country's second most powerful political post for the first time since its founding as an independent republic in 1960, electing Anita Dimitriou as parliamentary speaker. In her victory speech, Dimitriou made references to U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris, adding that representatives in the Republic of Cyprus were being called to restore credibility in the House and politics in general. The choice is seen as a major step in leveling the political playing field for women in Cyprus who have been traditionally underrepresented in politics. In last month's parliamentary election, only 8 women were elected in the 56-seat body, 3 less than in its previous composition. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.